Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Happy Hump Day, everybody. Harrison, as I think about this, we need to change the open. The teammates mentor.
Okay.
We need to have big voice Bob. It's one-on-one still, but it's teammates.
Okay. We'll get that.
Have that done. As a matter of fact, just shout out teammates mentor. They are an official sponsor for all the student athlete shows. So, Harrison, we have to make sure that all of those shows are featuring teammates, at least in partner with whoever they happen to. So it could be Mary Ellen's to get them all done. 402-464-5685. Start our email text line. If you want to be in a part of what we're doing, and you know, you can get into it. You can get on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, X. Of course, the Royals are on the brick and mortar, but you're on the stream and following us accordingly. Greatly appreciated. LK0961. Do our thing. And then, listen, we set the standard for how we go about having these conversations and who we have them with. The tone has to be set. We have to follow the standard set. And there is no higher standard, no greater standard than the late, great John Facen.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison, if you would, please.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Boom, boom.
It's so good. He is from hailing from Arlington, Virginia. He is the leader of Fairfax Football Academy. QB coach.
Yes, sir. Handing out lollipops today.
Right. And my captain.
Hey, oh, wait a second. DP, are we good?
Good and getting better.
There we go.
Good and getting better. Barry Thompson joins us on the ticket. BT.
Yeah.
Lots to talk about, bro. Let's talk about.
Let's get after it.
I want to ask you this thing because the story about quarterbacks and offensive coordinators, right? That the story in the NFL is now, you know, your Raiders are in a predicament.
Easy.
Well, but I want to come to the source.
Easy now. We're friends now.
Come to the source and you have an explanation of what's going on
right
there first, right? Because you had Carr, and then you make a move, and then you have a battle of sorts,
right?
And Gardner Minshew wins the job, and then. Right. You say, okay, maybe that's not it. And then you decide, hey, listen, Spencer Rattler, who has made the move and several moves, appears to be this week's hot girl at the bar.
Yep.
And will man the reins and lead the Las Vegas Raiders into battle in the NFL. So I'm going to ask this question.
Yep.
One, how much of this, what is the likelihood that an organization, whether it be college, high school, college, or pro, can either be wrong in their assessment of the talent of the quarterback, wrong in their development of said talented quarterback, or is it just a disconnect between the offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach, and the quarterback themselves?
You just gave me A, B, and C, right?
Yes, sir.
Is there a D?
Whatever you want it to be. All you want it to be, right?
Yeah, I was listening to Jay. Jay was brought something up in the last segment about sometimes defensive players are brought in. They play one position, right? Maybe they play in a three down front, and then they're brought in and they say, hey, we're going to play you in a four down front. Actually, the opposite would happen. You're a four down front. We're going to put you in a three down front guy. We saw that happen with the local team a couple times, right? Mm-hmm. Took somebody from San Francisco that was used to being on the edge and a guy, and they moved him inside. Didn't work out. I think when you see things go wrong like that, just overall, you're obviously asking someone who has been productive somewhat, and they're asking to do a lot of good things that they don't do well. You know, you brought up the John Riggins example, except they don't have Joe Gibbs there, except they don't have the guy that, you know, made sense of how to use Brian Urlacher. And so that's what happens. A great example of that, if you remember a few years ago, the Eagles, everybody got hurt, and then Foles came in. And Peterson changed around the offense to what Foles did well, and they went off to a Super Bowl, right? And then the next year they wanted to go back to something else with another guy who's not in the league, I don't think, right now. Right. And then Foles wasn't as effective, and he went on to wherever his career is. So there is a real thing with quarterbacks that you're setting them up to do things that they do well. And if you don't do that, then you're going to have it's A, B, C, D, all of the above.
Through all of it, right, there are all sorts of analytics and metrics that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
To your knowledge and your ability to explain it, where does QB rating land with you? Is it important to you in development and coaching, management? Well, I mean, what does it mean to you?
I don't know. I just know that when a quarterback has a good game, the QBR is high, and that means that he's, you know, he's completed a lot. It's almost like, it's almost like an after effect. If you have a high completion percentage, you throw some touchdowns and you don't throw interception, your QBR is going to be pretty high. It's like, I really don't need the QBR to tell me that. But I guess as a running number, it kind of tells me over time, hey, this guy has fairly consistently completed a lot of passes, thrown a lot of touchdowns, and hasn't had a lot of interceptions. I found out just plugging in the high school QBR and college QBR that the yards almost don't matter. It's whether you're completing passes, whether you're throwing touchdowns, and you're staying away from interceptions. So on that basis, you know, if you look at a number, you can kind of get a gauge as to what the quarterback's done over time. But I'm not really sure what value it has, because we had a guy Friday that won a big game, and he threw two interceptions, which is 50% of the interceptions that he threw this year. And one of them was a pick six, and we won the game by 10. So what really mattered was that although he had a kind of a shaky first half, is that he came back and he performed well in the second half, and we won the game. So it's a very limited number from where I sit.
QB coach Barry Thompson joins us on One-on-One. Barry, we're talking quarterback rating, and I want to go to the top league in the universe and the NFL. And it's a weird thing, right? We're talking about it. We know in a week that Josh Allen completed 30% of his passes.
Right.
30%.
His QBR is going to be low.
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. He is currently, even with that 30% showing, the top rated QBR quarterback in the National Football League.
Right. Again, it's an over the time thing. So how many games have they played? Five. Mm-hmm. So one game against four, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's an over the time average. If you put his week along with Deshaun's week and you start mashing those together, that QBR is going to be pretty low.
Yeah, I mean, it was fascinating to me. And if you said that, hey, Josh Allen's number one and Patrick Mahomes is 16, it kind of devalues this whole QBR thing a little bit.
Well, yeah, but remember the limits of the number. The number just tells you, as far as I understand it, that the guy has completed a high percentage of passes. He's thrown way more touchdowns, whatever that is, versus very few interceptions. So if you have two or three games over a five-game span where the completion percentage is lower than somebody else and you have an interception or two or not as many touchdowns, then that's the QBR, right? But it doesn't tell you, as you're kind of getting at, anything about winning, which is what I brought up. The quarterback that I had Friday had, in a weird sense, maybe his worst game. But he was very productive when it counted, and we won the game by 10 points.
The main difference, few things in play, that Mahomes has more completions, 111 to 79.
Okay.
More attempts, 160 to 131. Higher percentage completion, 69% to Josh Allen, 60. Mahomes with 1,200 yards passing,
right.
Josh Allen with 945.
Okay.
Yards per attempt, Mahomes is plus a half a yard. They're basically even in touchdowns, but the difference being that Mahomes has six interceptions and
there Josh you go. Allen
has
there you go.
None.
Interceptions kill that number.
Right?
Yeah. But
don't the interceptions, if you're in a higher attempt, higher, you're throwing more, completing mm-hmm. more, mm-hmm. isn't it probable that you're going to have more interceptions because you're making bigger plays, throwing for more yardage, throwing?
You know. Yeah, but we know the MVP years, guys at the NFL level are pretty good in terms of those touchdowns stretch out over the interception. So you have guys, and we've had them in the past, who have thrown for 30-plus touchdowns in a season and maybe have six interceptions. So, again, over time, it just tells you that the things that we said before. The problem with it, using it as any kind of metric, and it always matters in sports, it matters when things happen. You know, going back to Shaquille O'Neal, remember when they used to have the Hack-a-Shaq thing?
Yep.
And they used to, and the announcers would constantly dribble on about, oh, he can't make him. He missed it again. And they were talking about what strategy you're going to have in the fourth quarter. And he's got a foul shooting guy. And Shaq very quietly in the fourth quarter, if you measured what he had a high percentage. And that's when the game's on the line. It didn't matter that he shot 30% in the first three quarters. The four or five times that he got to the line, it mattered that he was 4 out of 5. So
it
you
is,
could look. Yeah, go ahead.
It is a great thing, but I'd love to go to – it's one of our favorite – mutually our favorite things to say is that the most difficult thing in all of sports
is winning.
To finish, right? So I'm going to go through NFL starting quarterbacks currently,
okay.
Right? So Barry Thompson straight to the hot seat. And I'm going to ask you to finish a game currently. As they stand,
yes.
As they currently stand, and as they're currently playing.
C.J. Stroud.
Okay, but we're going to go through. I'm going to start, okay. Right? I'm going to start somewhere. So there's three levels of quarterbacks, right?
Okay.
Bottom 10, middle 10, mm-hmm. top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Based on QBR ratings, et cetera, I'm going to start down kind of at the bottom.
Okay.
Right? And then I'm going to ask you the two. And you tell me which one gets to advance forward.
Okay, go ahead.
Right? So here we go. Deshaun Watson and Will Levis. Who's your because you need them to not only start the game, but to finish the game for you.
Not Deshaun. Not right now.
Okay. Will Levis versus Caleb Williams.
I am in the Janet Jackson mode in this thing. What have you done for me lately? So I'm choosing Caleb.
Caleb Williams or Jacoby Brissett?
At this point, I'm taking experience. I'm taking Jacoby Brissett.
To start and to finish a game. And again,
because
remember, right? Because you got to win, as you said.
And I've only seen Caleb do it once. He came up big, and it could be the start of something. You know, talented players tend to announce themselves. You have to kind of pay attention to it. I'm not ignoring it, but if you ask me going into next week, who would I want to do that? I'm choosing Jacoby Brissett.
Harrison Arms, what is the Chicago Bears' current record?
Right now, 3-2.
3-2. So he's
winning ball games.
He's winning ball games.
Yes, he is.
This is the point. It's always we get into our prejudices and we get into our thinking, but the reality is to start a game and finish it as a rookie and be 3-2, you gotta kind of lean towards him, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, so that he is a close call, because in his instance, it could be the beginning of what's to come. And so I'm not ignoring that, but if you ask me sitting here,
sitting right now,
choosing experience. Yeah, I'm trying to choose an experience.
Okay.
So, hey, Harrison, no disrespect to the Bears.
Oh, no, those first two games, he didn't look great. So it is like, well, it might be the emergence, like we're saying.
He totally disrespected you. There's
no, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Okay. So you pick Brissett.
Yeah.
Now we have to go to Las Vegas. So it's either Jacoby Brissett or Gardner Minshew.
Now, see, now this is where my biases come in. I'm gonna reach all the way back 3 weeks ago when he did the Ravens. I'm just being true to my team. I'm picking Gardner.
Gardner Minshew or Justin Herbert?
Well, a year ago, I would have picked the way they're playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
And you need him to win a game?
Listen, people out there that know sensible things, but I can't go against my Raiders. Not yet. I'm picking Gardner.
Bo Nix. Gardner Minshew versus Bo Nix.
This is a tougher one for me because I saw Bo Nix and Sean Payton earlier in the season, and I kind of liked what I saw, so I wasn't really surprised about the way he played. God, DP, you're doing this on purpose. I can't go against it. I'm Gardner Minshew.
It's fair. It's fair.
You're going to make me yell at Raiders.
Raiders. Gardner Minshew or Jared Goff.
Okay, you got me out of the division.
Harrison is looking at you.
You got me out of the, I know, in the north. Man, you know, Goff, I like him.
The Super Bowl quarterback.
Yeah, Super Bowl quarterback. I'm going to go with man, I hate doing it. All right, I'll go with there you're making my stomach hurt. I got it. And we're doing a public. Right? This is different than a private conversation. This is a public conversation.
Right. Integrity matters, man.
He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You say it for me. I can't say it.
Yeah.
Go to the next round. Go to the next round.
Jared Goff or Justin Fields?
And by the way, Harrison, around DC, we always need plausible deniability. So I said a thing without saying a thing. But go ahead. Jared Goff or who?
DP said it. Justin Fields or Jared Goff. It's currently start your game, manage your game, and finish the game with a win.
Yeah. Again, Fields is shown a little bit differently in the structure. I understand that they're going to start Russell Wilson. I think Goff is Super Bowl winning quarterback. You gotta
Jared Goff or Jordan Love.
I know you love Jordan.
I do.
I know you love Jordan. These are, you know, the thing with these young guys is, he's been in the league for a while, but relatively young quarterback is, you don't know, they don't have the track record. So I'm going to edge out. I like them too. I'm going to give Goff because of Super Bowl appearance. He's got a team through a season. That means he knows how to finish games.
Jared Goff or Anthony Richardson?
Jared Goff.
And then the final of the bottom third in quarterbacks. We'll go to break.
Okay.
But the final one's a doozy.
All right.
It's Jared Goff of the Detroit Lions or Aaron Rodgers of the Jets.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you got to dance a little bit. Yeah.
If Aaron is upright, I don't care if he's 45 years old. He knows how to finish a game. And if I had to, I heard Jay say this, it's an economic term, all things being equal.
Uh-huh.
All things being equal, even at this late stage, I would choose Aaron Rodgers.
I'm gonna do a thing and ask you to pick Goff, because if you pick Rodgers, he's gonna get you fired. And so he's gonna get you fired. But okay. So
Good. I'll thank you for saving my job. You Aaron got it before.
Rodgers,
so.
Aaron Rodgers will advance, and then we'll go to break. And when we come back.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Barry, we're going to get to the middle, meaty section of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Great.
And there are some names now that will take us to the top 10.
All right.
But from 20 to 10, these are the current rankings, the QBR quarterback rankings.
So Jared Goff made it out of the bottom third.
Out of the bottom third, he's the best of the bottom third.
All right.
And now we get to the middle, folks. Barry Thompson, DP.
Let's go.
We'll be right back. One-on-one Wednesday. The Don't Put Hour with DeMornay Pearsonell right behind that. Harrison,
DMV what's the in the house.
What's the full lineup tonight? What do we got?
We got a full slate. So Wednesday is pretty busy days for us. So after this, you mentioned it, DPE, DeMornay Pearsonell. And then from that one, Kendall Lanier, 1011 News, she'll be on. She's got a great guest as well. They'll be streaming in with her. And then from that on, Malone Radio Show. And then Kyle Perry, he's back.
Uncut,
former Husker pitcher. Really a Husker fan favorite towards the end of his career. A lot of people gravitated towards him. But he is also back on the ticket slate from Sundays through Thursdays. So you'll be getting plenty of Kyle Perry.
Man, it's good stuff. Okay, so Barry Thompson,
the
quarterback coach. We have set the table. We went through simply based on QBR ratings and allowing that to be the metric for how we line them up. No preferential treatment here from us. We're just following the QBR ratings as they stand. We started with the bottom third, and they got us. They got us to the bottom of the lower third, and now we're going to get middle third.
All right.
Who did we decide to take forward? Who are we taking? Goff?
We wanted to be Jared Goff. Rodgers. Yeah.
Jared Goff. And it's to start your game at quarterback, manage your game, and then finish.
Yeah.
Finish with a win. So up first for Jared Goff is Trevor Lawrence.
Goff.
He got that off quick.
Yep.
They were traded for each other. Matthew Stafford. Or Jared Goff.
Right. Ooh, Stafford or Goff. Man, I like Stafford's kind of toughness, but I'm going to do the Janet Jackson thing because we're dealing with, like, this next Sunday. And based on next Sunday, I'm choosing Goff. I love Stafford for a lot of reasons. To be respected, but I'm going to go with Goff.
Barry Thompson, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Do you like that? Kirk Cousins
or Jared Goff? Kirk.
Right? Kirk. Captain Kirk in the ATL.
Yes, Jim. What have you done for me lately? Kirk stood up. He stood on business a couple of nights ago. Yes.
Rank his swag surf.
Yeah, Barry Kirk is a different dude. You know his story. He went into Michigan State as a 160-pound recruit, and you know it's just been underestimated, and was in the situation he was with the Skins, and fought through that stuff, and you know wound up in Minnesota. And he's what I would describe as a professional quarterback. He's a guy, as far as his numbers go, is going to be sadly overlooked over time, but his production is good. And when he has a chance, I choose him over Goff at the end of the game.
So Kirk Cousins or Geno Smith from the Seattle Seahawks?
Kirk Cousins.
Wow. Wow.
Is Kirk going to run into the current Vikings QB? I was wondering how far this goes.
That'll be easy, by the way.
Or Daniel Jones from the Giants.
Kirk Cousins. Yeah, go ahead.
Barry Thompson likes this. Is it Kirk Cousins or Sam Darnold?
Shout out to Jordan Palmer and the work that Sam Darnold did in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Like, these things are possible. We all know we were enthralled with Sam Darnold when he was at USC, this big, strong guy hitting these things. He's gone through a little bit of a lull. And by the way, we have seen this before in the NFL. We saw it with Kurt Warner. Everybody thought he was done. He landed at the Cardinals and wound up in the Super Bowl. Before that, Plunkett was done with the Patriots and revived his career. So we don't see it too much anymore, but this is possible. But at this point, I'm going to choose Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins or Derek Carr?
Yeah, he left the Raiders. Kirk Cousins. He's not a Raider anymore. He's not a Raider anymore. And he actually, to be honest with you, he looked kind of silly at points in the game, but it could be exactly, you know, he looked so much better when Gruden was at the helm and the West Coast stuff and all that kind of mess. And then I think the league has kind of caught up with what they were doing, and they've got to figure out how to kind of counter what the defenses are doing now.
Again, middle of the pack.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins or Dakota Prescott?
Dakota Prescott. Kirk Cousins.
Kirk. Man, Cowboy
Nation. That Prescott thing is just not.
Oh, start ringing. Oh my goodness.
Let me ask you this. If Kirk Cousins was the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys right now, you think they'd have a better record?
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, and Dak and those guys came up with a win. I that's not beyond me. They came up and they did it. And the funny thing was, Jerry's son went and hugged his dad. I don't know if you saw the picture, but dad wouldn't return the hug. He looked like
he pulled an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting moment.
His own son.
It was an interesting moment. I mean, the son was really relieved that they pulled this game out, and dad was like, "Man, they might not be here next week."
Yeah, you talked me into spending this, writing this check, bro. You better get some results. Yeah. Amazingly enough, this next person is in the middle third. It's Kirk Cousins or Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you got Mahomes.
Mahomes.
No question. It hurts me. This hurts me as much as the Gardner Minshew thing that I gotta, but okay. I promise myself he is so good that I'm not gonna let my haterade miss his greatness. I've done that before with other players. I said, you know, they talk too much, I don't like them. And right. I almost missed all of Randy Moss's career because I thought he was whatever. I'm not letting that because I looked at him, I mean, man, that guy was good. So Mahomes is good. And he is the new leader.
Mahomes or Baker Mayfield?
Mahomes. It gets easy now.
Mahomes or Brock Purdy?
Mahomes. Ooh. Ooh.
Oh.
No. Yeah. I like Brock, but I'm going to stay in the Janet Jackson mode. Mahomes won the last Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, Mahomes.
Mahomes or Andy Dalton?
Again, a guy who's revived his career. When it comes to quarterbacks, it's easy to say this guy's trashed or this guy's this or that. But the more I do what I do, the more that I get the insights of what these guys have to fight through to survive and every Sunday try to eke out a win and trade at teams and move in families. I really, really respect any quarterback that gets under center or in the gun on Sundays. I really do. But I'm taking Mahomes.
We are now in the penthouse, upper level, upper echelon of quarterbacks.
Upper room. We're
in look, we got those special hotel cards that only get you on certain floor.
Yeah, you get a pass. Swipe card.
And it's Patrick Mahomes or, sir, CJ Stroud.
Ooh, I love me some CJ. I like Janet Jackson. I like Janet Jackson with the velvet rope, all that stuff.
Right.
It's Mahomes.
It's Mahomes.
Yeah.
Mahomes or the reigning, defending MVP Lamar Jackson.
I love me some Lamar. Oh, Janet, you're killing me right now.
Uh-huh.
I love that song too. What have you done for me lately? Miss Jackson is nasty. No, I'm taking Mahomes.
Mahomes or the rookie? Jaden Daniels.
Patrick Riley's eating this stuff up, that here, Raider fan. And that's just nothing for your audience, but if Patrick Riley's listening, he's loving that I'm picking this. Yep. Him or Jaden Daniels.
Yep.
Man, Jaden put a knife in him the other night, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? 91%, and then threw that dagger. Steve Buckhantz would have been proud.
Better percentage, not turning the ball over, better yardage. The air and on the ground. Barry Thompson, who you take?
If this is ever an opportunity for me to break with Mahomes. But here's the problem. Mahomes, it kind of has a Jordan streak in him. So somebody may throw this to him, and he'll carry a chip on his shoulder because he heard some random dude on the radio ranking. And he'll punish my Raiders, and he'll say it's because that dude on the radio was speaking about it.
Taking it personal.
I love Jaden. Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow?
You know, if Joe had not had the injuries, he's of the guys that have been in the league for a little bit, he's one of those guys that impresses me that he wants to be great. But he hasn't been consistently great. And Mahomes has gotten him. It's Mahomes.
Barry Thompson, you get to put the crown, you get to put the golden sling on a quarterback's arm, and it's either Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen. Who you with?
Mahomes.
So you see how this worked? Yeah. You see how he went all the way through?
Yeah.
He pulled Mahomes from a 16 seed all the way up to number one. And
hey, you called him a 16 seed. I didn't. I don't want it out there that a Raider fan called him 16.
The numbers put him at 16. Yeah, the QBR rating put him. I went strictly by QBR rating.
Okay.
The work that they put in this season, I did not. There's no slander. There's no preferential treatment.
Right.
None of that. I was simply going by the numbers.
Okay.
Going by the numbers.
I got you.
Just going to say that. All right. We'll toward the break. And when we come back, before we get out of here, Barry Thompson, tell us what he's cooking. He's Barry Thompson, FDP. We'll be right back to one-on-one. Final segment before we hand it over to DeMornay Pearsonell, Barry Thompson, DP, one-on-one. We do want to send some prayers up to the folks down under Milton. And just fingers crossed, and hopefully everybody gets through and gets covered, because this is going to be a thing. So. Barry Thompson, I asked the question. You know the answer. what are you cooking?
Well, I haven't made it yet. I'll post it tomorrow. I'm going to make it tomorrow. There's a dish called agua chile, and real simple. You're going to take about a pound of shrimp, and I think shrimp is something everybody should kind of keep in their freezer. Real easy to unthaw. It takes about 3 or 4 minutes if you're running underwater. Slice each of those shrimps in half. You're going to take two limes, or about a quarter cup, maybe a third of a cup of fresh lime juice, and you pour it over the shrimp. Now, if you've never done that before, the acid in the lime actually cooks the shrimp. So you'll do that, set it aside, and then you're going to get this green sauce ready, which is 2 serrano peppers. You'll use 2 jalapeno peppers, and everybody knows how to adjust the heat. You can take the ribs out or leave the seeds in, depending what you want. You'll take 2 more limes. Squeeze the juice out of them, put it into a blender with the peppers, maybe a handful of cilantro, a little bit of salt, a little bit of garlic, and then hit the blend, and that'll become your green sauce. While the shrimp is kind of cooking in that acid, you also slice thin some real red onions and put those in some water. It'll take some of the bite out of it, and maybe a little pinch of salt in there. Let it sit for a while. And then you're basically ready to put the dish together. When the shrimp is done, put it in the bowl, pour the green sauce over top of it, put the red onions on top, another handful of cilantro, and you can either use avocado, little chunks of avocado, or you can go cucumber if you want, and then get your chips out and, watch the Huskers win.
Man.
I'll post it tomorrow. It's a great dish. I'll post it tomorrow.
That's a full deal. Hey, yeah. Barry, before we get out of here, there's a thing that happened in the Buffalo game, and concussion is such a red flag issue, in that, one, as much as we talk about it, it's still a lot of unknown and a lot of transitional information, right?
That right.
What we currently know is not everything we need to know or should know,
right?
But in our reactions to it. So you as a coach, one, your understanding at least of the concussion protocol.
Right. Well, I mean, if there's any question, you know, we take all these certification, when in doubt, sit them out, right? That type of thing. So I've always thought with the concussion deal, the biggest problem at getting out of it was going to be the athlete. And the reason for that, if you think about it logically, an athlete, as they grow and get more years, they get comfortable with the idea of being uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to get out and train in certain weather. It's uncomfortable to push yourself to temporary muscle fatigue. And that is the biggest deal. When you have an athlete, he's got an ache, he's got a pain. At a certain level, these guys are great at ignoring pain. Sometimes their body will shut it off. They always think that they can go because that's the mindset of them. And I think that's the missing piece to the concussion thing, is zeroing in on an athlete and making it clear to them that there's a certain time when you're not to go forward. And, you know, because you can watch a person with concussion kind of function a little bit, you know, and you think it's all right and you wonder what's happening. And it's got to be the athlete that steps up and says, you know what, I'm not right now. Because you can do everything you want around them. You didn't see him take a terrible hit and it wasn't flagged from upstairs, right? It's just off. And that's the biggest thing, the athlete part of this equation, because they put all kinds of safety protocols. The things they put on the helmet, the way we practice now is different. You know, you've educated the coaches about it. You have the trainers on site and they have a protocol for bringing everybody back. And the NFL, it's the athlete is the last part of this equation that they need to solve to keep everybody safe.
How much discussion happens between coaches and trainers?
Well, it's got to be the protocol should be that what the trainer says goes, right? And I don't know that always happens.
Say that again. Okay,
And you got to remember, we're talking about the NFL level versus the college level versus the high school versus the youth level, right? So these dynamics can exist at all those levels, but you see where you get up into the higher levels and people think there's things that are at stake that are more important than somebody's health. You know, then it gets into that dicey area, right? So it's really the athlete that can control that. You know, let's say, I don't know all the circumstances, but let's say that Josh Allen went to his coach and said, you know what, coach, I'm not right. I can't go in. Like, how is he going to be reduced by that, right? He's proven who he is. And it's okay for him to say, hey, I'm not right. Somebody else can finish this. I'll get right. I'll be right in a week or two. There you go.
Yeah, it is a thing that constantly comes up in asking people to be accountable, be professional, be considerate. And then the important part is being honest.
Yes.
Being honest about a player feeling like they can tell you the truth.
Right.
A coach being honest and accepting the truth, and a trainer being heard. In their truth. And I think ultimately, if we get it right, everybody's okay. If we slide on the side of precaution.
Real quick, I know we're about to end up, but you know what's a real good example of that? Was watching the gymnast on their side said, you know what, I'm not right. For different reasons, but standing up against everything and said, you know what, I'm not right now. I can't go. And if more men would follow their example, they would have a chance to change all of this around. Right. But the women had no problem saying, hey, I'm not right. I got the yips. I got whatever. I need to take time out. And hopefully there's more guys who can get to that point and who are just as talented, because it'll take the leader of the pack to make the difference. Right.
Yep.
Like the leader of the pack will change the tune for everybody.
That should be the mission.
Yep.
It sports at all levels. Just getting it right. Barry Thompson, thank you, kind sir, once again. Hour of conversation. We'll do it again next week. Harrison Arns will take us to break until DeMorne Pearsonell comes in.
Peace out.
Love y'all.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.